Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Richard Pollack of the Daily Caller News Foundation. It's senior investigative reporter. And Richard, we were just talking before the break about Bill Clinton's possible obstruction of justice, or at least the appearance of that in connection with this visit to the Attorney General on her plane, a secret meeting at that. What is the possibility that a person of interest and possibly a subject of the investigation has compromised that investigation in this fashion?
First of all, a lot of people don't remember that Loretta Lynch, who's the current Attorney General, can thank Bill Clinton for her career. It was President Bill Clinton that appointed her a U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York, and that really got her started on her glide path to becoming attorney general. So the two of them have known each other for many years. She's indebted to him for starting that. And on top of it, there are very clear rules that no member of the Department of Justice, whether or not it's the attorney general or at a lesser level, should meet outside of a courtroom or an official deposition with a witness, with a subject, with someone who might be either a party to wrongdoing or having witnessed wrongdoing. So the whole prospect that Loretta Lynch should decide to invite Bill Clinton onto her plane for 30 minutes without, by the way, no staff present. Usually when the AG and a former president is meeting with people, there are staff. There were no staff. Staff were kicked off the plane. There were no security people except outside of the plane. There were no witnesses as to what that discussion was about. The whole thing is so over the top. We have a few days later, a presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, telling the public that she would renominate Lynch if she became president, which is another way of sort of sweetening the deal, so to speak, and making sure that they get their type of justice. So the whole thing is a spectacle that's amazing. This, however, is par for the course of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's whole life has been one in which he has always sort of gone up to the line, and many times over the line, but he's gone all the way up to the line, pushed things over the line a little bit, stretched things. This is really Bill Clinton's life. This is what it is.
This is SOP, Standard Operating Procedure for the Clintons. Hey, Richard, before we let you go, I wanted to hit you with a couple of other topics that are on my mind. There was an amazing story that you had about a news article or investigative report about Department of Justice officials essentially moving funds from an appropriated purpose to a kind of slush fund for some of their favorite radical left charities. Sean Duffy, congressman from Wisconsin, has been on top of this. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, I think that there has been an under-the-radar effort by the Obama administration to institutionalize funding for political groups that are allied with the administration and creating slush funds essentially to fund the left or fund activist groups with taxpayer money. Now, once upon a time in a quaint time in American history, if you were Xerox or Bank of America or some other company and you committed a crime and you were fined, they would ask you to write out a check to the U.S. Treasury. This is not happening under the Obama administration. What they are doing is they're creating dedicated, separate accounts in which these so-called violators play into those accounts controlled by various departments, not just only the Department of Justice, but at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a brand new agency established by President Obama. If you are paying a fine, American Express has paid tens of millions, Bank of America, others, it goes into a thing called the Civil Penalty Fund at CFPB that CFPB controls and hands out the money. And the same thing at the Department of Justice. And it's no longer in the Treasury. It's no longer in the public trust. It's now in the hands of political officials who can decide to award this money to whoever they want.
And has Representative Duffy's Financial Oversight Subcommittee established that this is going on, and are they taking steps to try to prevent it from continuing?
Well, they're trying, but, you know, Congress has limited powers, and it probably will be well after President Obama leaves office that anything will happen on this affair. But the slush funds are serious, and there are a number of so-called housing fines that the Department of Justice has imposed, and then they've given them to activist groups like La Raza, the Hispanic radical group. Those kinds of funds will probably continue until there's another president who sees otherwise.
Let me ask you about one other thing. You've written recently about military lawyers trumping commanders when it comes to matters of both strategy and operations. I've long worried about this, I have to say. The numbers of lawyers and the degree to which they are now rife throughout essentially every level of the military. Give us a flavor of how serious a problem this is and the repercussions in terms of battlefield operations and strategy.
Well, I think that we've heard anecdotally, and not just me, but I mean within Washington, and those who are in the military service have complained for many years about the rise of attorneys, lawyers, to trump the military commanders who have to make decisions about whether to order a military strike, a rescue mission, a counterterrorism action, any other kinds of military missions that they may want to undertake, and that these lawyers are somehow or another impeding the generals. And so I decided, and the Daily Caller News Foundation decided, that we would try to quantify how many lawyers there are in the system that just deal with the issue of international law. Because there is a thing called the laws of war. The United States abides by them faithfully. It's very complicated. However, are these lawyers being able to, as you said, trump the generals? And we discovered that there are at least, because I think the number may be double or triple this amount, but we work very much with the Defense Department, with U.S. Central Command, with the forward command centers in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we learned that there are about 300 senior lawyers in command centers that will tell a general whether or not they can carry out a mission. And it's okay to have an advisor. You know, you have intelligence advisors, you have tactical advisors, you have strategic advisors, many different advisors. I think the generals would welcome this advice. But when lawyers say, sorry, buddy, you can't do this, or we have to go and send this up to other lawyers to review it before we can do it. Time is of the essence sometimes when you see an enemy group that's appearing. The Wall Street Journal actually had a very a fabulous article and a sobering article about this, in which they saw that the Taliban were about to go and attack an Afghan regiment that was bivouacked and in Afghanistan, and they wanted to take drones out to attack them, and they never were able to attack them whatsoever. For 4 hours, they tried to go and get permission to be able to attack them. In the end, they never did, and the Taliban moved away, and the lawyers said, well, since they moved away, you can't attack them now.
You know, Richard, this is, in a artistic version, very powerfully communicated by this movie, Eye on the Sky, and I commend it to all of our listeners, as I do the great work you do at the Daily Caller News Foundation. Richard Pollack, I hope you will keep it up, as well as come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, thank you so much for your time today and for this really important drill down on so many of the scandalous and difficult challenges our country is facing in national security and other arenas. Talk to you soon, my friend. I'll talk to the rest of you again, I hope, tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.